By 2050, the global population may exceed 9 billion people, with almost three-quarters of them living in urban areas. How will the world feed so many? The answer, in part, by connecting the researchers, practitioners, and policymakers who are tackling the global food problem of producing more with less. And one of the best allies may be technology. John Verbenkor is Associate Dean for Research at Michigan State University's College of Engineering and is a national leader on this topic. He's joining me on MSU Today to talk about MSU's leadership in the Smart Ag Initiative. John chairs this initiative's executive committee. He's also, by the way, a professor of electrical and computer engineering and computational mathematics, science, and engineering. John, good to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So frame that issue for us a little bit. I described it, but we really do have a challenge of feeding a growing population.
Yeah, so this is all driven by an enormous challenge. And if you look at the numbers on the challenge, you mentioned one of them, the 9 billion people. But the other pieces of the challenge include water and energy. And so about 80% of the fresh water on the planet goes towards agricultural production, somehow in the agricultural sector, whether that's processing food, whether it's cleaning food, and so on. But it goes towards that piece. So that's a big element. Another big element is about 30% of the world's energy goes into food production. Those are huge numbers, and as you grow the amount of food you need to produce, you need to grow those numbers as well. And as many people may be aware, we've had a drop in subtropical precipitation of about 30% in the last few decades. So that poses an equal challenge. So all of those challenges add up to we need to be a lot smarter about how we produce our food.
MSU Engineering's John Verbenkor, my guest on MSU Today. We're talking about the challenges involved in feeding this growing population in our world and how the Smart Ag Initiative plays into helping with that. John, how do engineers intersect with farmers and agribusiness in Smart Ag?
Okay, good. So the intersection comes around in using technology to develop food maybe in a smarter way, maybe in a more efficient way, maybe safer and more secure. So it isn't just about the quantity of food we produce. It's also about the quality, and it's also about the safety of that food and the accessibility. You could produce all of the great food you want, and if it's in the wrong place, it doesn't do the right thing. And so technology is one way to get at that, and it's one way to get more out of the resources that you have, whether it's a limited amount of production area. And I don't want to limit this to land-based agriculture. This may also impact aquaculture and so forth. So we want to manage all of those things wisely. We want to have the ability to sense and understand what's going on and manage the system in a way that's sustainable and maybe even growable. And so those are really important aspects of this. And so you can think of this Smart Ag Initiative as starting from the soil, from the, you know, sort of the base production and going all the way to the consumers. So that may include stages such as production, whether that's agriculture production, animal production, and so on, harvesting, post-harvest, distribution, collection, aggregation, food processing, and then transportation plays a huge role in this, cold chain, delivery of the food at the wholesale and retail, right to the consumer, and even at the consumer level, even continuing on into the consumer's refrigerator with, for example, smart packaging that tells you when the food is safe, when the quality is degrading, and so on. And all of those things are now possible with current technologies. So engineering certainly has a big role to play in integrating with domain specialists, because engineers generally won't know that much about the details of plant biology or agricultural production and so forth. They may be working on machine vision or something like that. But all of those technologies can certainly play a role in enhancing that food production.
It does seem, John, like there's an engineer involved in solving just about every problem in the world. And I liked something I saw about the initiative described as technology applied to food production, preparation, and delivery from seed to table.
Yeah, so are you, people say field to fork, or you know, lots of
fork,
yeah. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think that's very important. I think making sure that the food is tracked and safe. You know, one of the big problems we have in today's world is when we have a food incident, for example, tainted food. We may see a couple of months investigation to figure out what happened. That's because we have a few sporadic data points, and they try to trace it back, and they may do a recall, or they may do other things. If we have a smart ag system, in place. And remember, smart ag is not smart agriculture. It's smart agri-food systems. And so it's a system. And that means that we have in place, for example, sensors that you put on the food as soon as you package it. And those sensors may be cheap 2D printed, you know, sort of lab on a chip type things, which detect maybe a very limited set of chemicals and or biologicals. But those things can be done very cheaply when it's that limited set and you need a limited accuracy. You really want it to be able to tell you, is the quality of the food degrading? And it may still be safe to eat. But the second question you want to know is, how is the safety of the food? Can you still consume it? So if the quality is degrading, you may not sell it at that high-end food outlet. You may sell it somewhere else, sell it to a soup kitchen or whatever, because it's still safe to consume. And so you want those two labelings to be able to tell you those things. If you ask how do you get people to adopt this, if you say, well, the food producers will say, gee, I don't want to put smart labels on my food because it tells people they can keep it on the shelf longer. Therefore, they'll buy less food. There'll be less waste, but they'll buy less food. And that means, obviously, less that they sell. If we can convince instead the food supply chain at the back end so that we have the wholesale and retail part of the supply chain, which operates at very low margins, the reality is grocery supply operates at very low margins. So if we can increase their margins by reducing their waste, they're going to pick up any product that allows them to increase their margins, and they're going to push back up the food supply chain the desire for smart packaging. And so if you look at the numbers, the food waste in both developed and developing nations is between 30 and 40% of the food produced. It's incredibly large numbers. About half of that happens at the wholesale retail part of the supply chain. The other half is with the consumer or in transportation. So if we're able to mitigate the half of it that goes into the wholesale retail, that's 20%. So you can imagine that's a big dent in a 3% margin. So that's going to cause them to really purchase those items they can get with that smart packaging. So that's going to give a big edge to smart packaging.
Two-part question, sort of relate this to the typical Michigander, and then what can me or that typical Michigander do in our daily lives? Is there anything I suppose start by wasting less, but...
Yeah, so it's a good question. So Michigan's a very interesting place. So let me put in a little plug for MSU first. And that plug is MSU was started in 1855 with essentially two departments. One was the Department of Agriculture, and the other was the Department of Mechanics. And so you can view the Department of Mechanics in 1855 as the smart ag of the times. It was to develop machines for agriculture. So, we're just circling back to our roots. This is part of that. So in terms of being a land grant, our mission obviously is to benefit the state. And so a big piece of that mission involves in the state of Michigan one of the most diverse sets of specialty crops anywhere in the country. And so that diverse set of specialty crops are typically higher margin crops, and they're more amenable to early adoption of smart ag because that higher margin supports it, right? If you can increase production by 10%, it has a much bigger impact on a high margin crop than it does, let's say, on a corn or something like that. And so Michigan has that big diverse set. It has a big diverse set of challenges as a result of that, and very amenable to smart ag, very amenable to using whether it's machine vision. Now I don't want to claim that smart ag has owned this thing. It's been around for a couple of years under that moniker, but precision agriculture has existed for a decade or more and is a well-developed area. So that involves tractors with precision GPS that can lay down rows and space the seeds nicely and so on. All that's important, an important piece of this, but smart ag is much bigger than that, much bigger system. And so for Michigan, the benefit is Michigan farmers tend to be small to mid-sized farmers as opposed to the huge acreage farmers that you might see in Iowa or Nebraska. And so in terms of being able to deploy smart ag technologies in that framework, that small to mid-sized farmer can't really afford to go big with technology. They have to have sort of bite-sized pieces of technology that work for their farming style. They also recognize, because they're typically family farmers, the value of maintaining the sustainability of their farm. So that means that they have a strong desire to put less chemicals into the soil because they know the chemicals build up. They can measure it. They know that the water runoff from their farm damages their water supply. And so they want to reduce the impact of that as much as possible. So that means if they're able to use, let's say, robotic platforms, whether it's drones, whether it's land-based robots, not so crucial, but to be able to target and recognize deficiencies in their crop, whether it's soil deficiency, whether it's plant fungal pathogen, microbial pathogen on their plants, and be able to target the remediation, whether that's a fertilizer, whether that's a pesticide, target it to only the local area so that they use 1% as much resources in that area as they would have before. That's 1% of the load on their soil, on the water, et cetera, in addition to the cost savings, obviously, of using 1% of the chemical. So those are all huge benefits that farmers in Michigan will completely understand about this initiative.
So, John, are you confident we, the collective we in the world, can meet these challenges? And what are some things that have to happen for us to meet the challenge?
Yeah, we absolutely have to meet the challenges. I mean, it's part of humanity is we better feed all the people. And so that's crucial. We can't fail. And so we better find a way. And I think that this is at least a tool in the arsenal to meeting that challenge. In terms of what the typical person can do, certainly they can shop smart. They can buy sustainable foods. They can understand where their foods were produced and how they were produced. We will hopefully ultimately get to the point where every piece of food has a tag on it. You can scan it with your phone. That tag will tell you where it was produced, where it was processed. You can find out and trace the entire pathway of the food item. And as I mentioned before, pathogen outbreaks in food will be immediately traceable because you'll be able to scan it. And it'll tell you every place it touched it. So you just need two items and see where their paths crossed, and that tells you where the contamination occurred. You'll also see the increasing use of sensors throughout that food supply chain, whether it's at the production level, whether it's at harvest, whether it's in the food processing plants. They're all going to have sensors that are looking for these pathogens, and so you're going to see a lot better food safety. So hopefully we see a reduction of food waste. You'll see, hopefully, the elimination of expiration dates on food, which are, of course, statistically based on estimates of how that food will be handled, right? They have to be conservative because if you bought that gallon of milk from that company and that gallon of milk was sour half the time and the expiration date said it was fine, you would conclude that they don't know what they're doing and you probably would find another brand. So they have to be very conservative. So those labels are tending to be very conservative. If we could have labels that instead detected the buildup of lactic acid in that milk, you'd have a very precise measurement of just when that milk was going bad. And so you'd know when you shouldn't drink it anymore. And you wouldn't need to rely on this label. So therefore, the milk would actually last longer if it were handled well. So those are things that you could do. You could look for foods that let you sort of reduce your waste by being smart about how you manage it.
So John Verbancourt, just summarize now for our listeners, what do you want them to know about the Smart Ag Initiative?
Well, I think the crucial piece to know about this is that we're really leveraging technology that comes from lots of other fields. So many of those technologies we talked about today have their roots in other areas such as autonomous vehicles. A lot of the technologies in Smart Ag come out of sensors, come out of robotics, come out of machine vision, come out of cloud data analytics that have been developed for lots of other fields in technology, but certainly have great application in this food field. And so I think the thing to walk away with is I think a positive outlook on being able to meet those challenges by being much smarter about how we manage and deploy our resources.
So, John, where can we find out more about the Smart Ag Initiative?
You can find out more about Smart Ag Initiative by Googling Smart Ag in either IEEE, that's IEEE, or as my daughter pronounces it, IE. And you can also Google Smart Ag in MSU, and you'll find websites at both describing it.
John, thanks for a great conversation.
You bet. My pleasure.
That's John Verbancourt from Michigan State University's renowned College of Engineering, and we've been discussing the Smart Ag Initiative. And I'm Russ White for MSU Today.